Good day, good people, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. I'm Brother Robert Farrell, and whether you are here for the live session or the recorded session, thank you for being here. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time here on Crowdcast. And that way you can join into the conversation after the sessions. You will notice in the chat section at the top, there is a link to the Wisdom Wall. That is a place where you can join together and share your thoughts and reflections as we explore our wisdom encounter today. I'd also like to let you all know, a little reminder for some of you and new for others, is that this coming Monday, January 30th, we're going to have a Monday night session at 6 p.m. Central on essential nonviolence. That's scheduled for approximately an hour and a half. I think it'll be a little less, but I'm going to give a bit of a talk and then enter into a dialogue and see if we can't boil down to some of the essential components of nonviolence. But tonight, we are here to talk about wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is not knowing more, but knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, to the depths of your intellect, will, emotion, senses, images, and even epiphanies. Yes, indeed. Open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. And today we will encounter three brief wisdom contemplations of about 4 minutes long each, and each one of those will be followed by a minute or so of silence, where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Those are four watchwords or signs. And you'll notice in the chat section that I've posted those. Resonate. Does something connect with you? And that might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. You can reflect, an opportunity to meditate with images and thoughts. You can respond. You can do so by journaling or praying or even body movement. Body prayer is a wonderful way to respond. And fourth, you can rest. Simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we will close with a spiritual practice and then some group dialogue. And today's theme is responding to the call. So with an open heart, find your calm, centered presence. Take a gentle breath, and we begin. What is a prophetic call? What characterizes the prophets? What characterizes them is an immense self-confidence that they speak for God. And where does that come from? How can prophets be so sure? They describe their call as their initial transformative experience that names the rest of their insight. There is even an inherent communion or union between God and the people. What you do to one, you do to the other, and everything proceeds from that. It is the prophet's initial theophany, their initial parting of the veil, that seems to become the nature of how they henceforth see reality. So you can even look at your own spiritual autobiography and see how you were formed, how and where you were led when God showed God's face to you. It is at that level that you know, and you know that you know. Your prophetic charism comes from your own conversion, that transformation into the mystery of God. This realignment takes place through an ego-stripping experience that tears away our false and fabricated self and leads us to a new self. And God doesn't seem to eliminate or expel the former self, but instead incorporates it into that divine self that you become. We are all still just a mass of contradictions and inconsistencies. Remember, confidence is not our personal wholeness, but it's in Christ, the one who grafts us onto the wholeness of God, staying connected to the vine. And with an impassioned desire, may everyone else experience the same transformation and ecstasy. It's true, every one of us needs to be stretched to live at our best, awakened out of those dull moral habits, shaken out of petty and trivial busy work. Life is difficult. Are you going to quit at the first wave of opposition? Are you going to live cautiously or courageously? You are called to live at your best, to pursue righteousness, to sustain a drive toward excellence. Yeah, it is easier to be neurotic. It's easier to be parasitic. It is easier to relax in the embracing arms of the average. Easier, but not better. Easier, but not more significant. Easier, but not more fulfilling. You are called to a life of purpose far beyond what you think yourself capable of living. And now, at the first sign of difficulty, are you ready to quit? If you are fatigued by the run-of-the-mill crowd of apathetic mediocrities, what will you do when the real race starts? The race with the swift and determined horses of excellence. What is it you really want? Do you want to just shuffle along with the crowd, or do you want to run with the horses? The ecstatic ideas for a new life are splattered with the world's cynicism. And so we weigh the options, we count the cost, we toss and turn in hesitation. And friends, may your life itself become the horse, become the answer. May you run with the horses. Let's take a sacred pause here into the silence to resonate, to reflect, to respond and rest. responding to the call. We say, here I am, I will go. How wonderful. To have a tremendous religious experience, a tremendous experience of illumination, and then, while you are under the massive pressure of this fresh orientation, to get a job analysis. Wonderful. So you can implement the vision now in terms that will be increasingly significant and relevant to your own living. We say, I'll go. I'll take the message. And then watch what happens. Just like Yahweh says, tell the people to listen, but they aren't going to listen. You will break your heart. You will turn your mind inside out. You will pour upon their indifference the priceless ingredients of your spirit. The only thing that I can offer you, says Yahweh, is a deep, profound, ever-circling frustration. That's all. Doom is spelled out. Well, that seems to have happened. And what would you have done? Well, here is your inspiration. Here is your great moment. And at last, you see clearly the vocational significance of your life. And then as you begin to define that vocational significance, it suddenly dawns upon you that you have been sent down a blind alley. Would you go anyway? Or would you say to yourself, I got my signals mixed? What would you do? Would you respond to the call? No, not all prophets do as they are told. When the call comes, most of them murmur, who, me? If the call is a true one, the voice of the Holy Spirit will roar, yes, you. The prophet will haggle with the Holy One. There must be someone better suited to speak for the divine. But our God of love is a patient God. The God of love calls once, twice, three times. And only then does the prophet square her shoulders, gird her loins, open her hands, and say, here I am. Recall the story of Mary. Mary being commissioned to carry forward God's design for redemption. The announcement of her impending motherhood is at the same time her prophetic calling to act for the deliverance of the people. She now takes her place among those prophets called to give word and witness to the hidden plan of God's salvific activity. And her affirmative response to the divine initiative sets her life on an adventure into the unknown future. She sets out in faith, not knowing where she's going, listening to the Spirit, rising to the immense possibilities of her call. She walks by faith in the integrity of her own response and her own person. The divine presence is with her and us through the good times and the bad. And yes, you will be a vessel for the incarnation of the divine here on earth, and it's going to hurt like hell. Stay present, then say, as you respond to the call, here I am. This is certainly a good moment for us to pause and resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Our world is continually graced with people who somehow have learned to act beyond and outside their self-interest and for the good of the world. People who clearly operated by a power larger than their own. Many of us have crossed paths with persons who exhibit this presence. You very well are one of those people and just may not know it yet. These people all had their moments in which they stopped denying their own shadows, stopped projecting those shadows elsewhere, and agreed to own their deepest identity in solidarity with the world. It is a vocation to share the fate of God for the life of the world, and to suffer, ever so slightly, what God suffers eternally. And this has little to do with believing the right things about God, beyond the fact that God is love itself. Those who respond to the call and agree to carry and love what God loves, which is both the good and the bad, and also to pay the price for its reconciliation within themselves, they are the leaven, they are the salt, they are the remnant, they are the mustard seed that God uses to transform the world. So you might be able to easily see why so many's first response is, "Who, me?" Well, saints are those who wake up while in this world instead of waiting for the next one. And God is calling everyone and everything, not just a few chosen ones. God is calling everyone to God's self. These are the new creation, and their transformed state is still seeping into history and ever so slowly transforming it into life and life more abundantly. Our lives are an offering. Looking at the book of Jonah, it can be best read as God moving someone from a mere sense of a religious job or career to an actual sense of personal call, vocation, or destiny. It's true, it takes being swallowed by a beast and then being taken into a dark place of nesting and nourishing. That's what allows us to move to a deeper place, a place called personal vocation. And that involves a movement from being ego-driven to being soul-drawn. That energy is very different. It comes quietly and generously from within. And once we have accepted our call, we don't look for payment. We don't look for reward or advancement because we have found our soul gift. And we can see why Jonah has to be shoved out of the boat. Nobody wants to go there. But we must listen, wait, and pray for our charism and call. We are not usually a truth-speaking people, and we don't speak the truth to one another. And that can be a helpful benefit of contemplative practice, which should lead to a clarity about who we are, and maybe even more so, who we are not. The second revelation is just as important as the first. And, yeah, it's sad to say, our culture doesn't encourage this journey toward the true self. this ability to respond to the call. But to come with our lives as an offering, that's quite different from seeking a career, seeking security, or status, or title. Our soul's calling comes through that contemplative practice and from letting go of the ego's drive. And that way we can respond to the call. But now we practice. We practice with silence, an opportunity to resonate, to reflect, to respond, to rest. And that concludes our wisdom reflection for today. And now we're going to share a spiritual practice with you. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And that was Isaiah's response to God's call. So this practice is the "Here I am" prayer, and it comes from Teresa Blythe. And it's a way to become available to God. Now, in this practice, she recommends at least 5 minutes. We're going to do it in abbreviated form together for just a couple of minutes. But easy enough that later, maybe throughout the week, that you do this for 5 minutes. So this is the practice as she describes it. First, you need to resolve to be in prayer for at least 5 minutes. You don't answer the phone or allow yourself to be distracted. You be seated and you say to yourself, and you can say this now, "Here I am seated doing nothing. I will do nothing for 5 minutes." You can even do it longer depending on the time you set for yourself. After you say that, begin noticing your own bodily presence. That means how your body feels next to the chair and how your feet feel against the floor, how the temperature of the air feels against your skin. You sink into it a little bit more and relax your body. And you really want to notice what you feel inside. It could be sensations or energy. Then, after a few moments, notice the presence of all that is around you. Here you want to say to yourself, Here I am in the presence of this room or garden or chapel, wherever you are. And become aware of the furniture, the walls, the pets, or people in the room. But just be really present and silent in that environment. Sink into it even more, relax even more. And then you say to yourself, here I am in the presence of God. And then repeat silently to God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. You do that and you bask in the presence of the Holy One until your time goal has been reached. A symbol of a gentle bow can conclude your time. An alleluia or an amen, if you like. And that is the Here I Am prayer. Our spiritual practice for the week. I hope you find it helpful to respond to the call. And now, friends, we're going to move into a dialogue with the Crowdcast group here. So we will say goodbye to our podcast and our YouTube friends. And we hope that you'll be able to join us sometime in the future for a live session so that you can become part of the dialogue. So to our podcast and YouTube friends, keep in mind in your heart, in your soul, that love is the way and that you are love. We hope to see you on Crowdcast soon.